Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Coats and Mascara Season 2. So, Sharvari, what are we doing today?
So this episode, we're really excited to have four beauty enthusiasts come on to our podcast to discuss their beauty habits, their spending habits, and their most loved products. Listen on to find out their thoughts.
I would ask them to quickly introduce themselves to all our listeners.
Hi, this is Khushbu Yod. I'm originally from Surat and I moved to Mumbai for my master's, and since then fell in love and stayed here. It's been 4 or 5 years, discounting the COVID years, and it's always been great. I professionally am a researcher and have moved into marketing and advertising research for past 2 years. I'm 28 years old, and it was during COVID that I got more interested into reading the research papers on beauty, and hence the beauty enthusiasm came.
Okay, we can ask our next guest, Priyal. Would you like to please introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi, everyone. So my name is Priyal and I'm from Bombay. I have too many irons in my fire. So basically, I'm also a freelance consultant and digital marketer. I'm also a freelance makeup artist by profession. That is how I am interested in this whole realm of skincare and beauty. And apart from that, I'm also a linguist. So all at an age of 22.
That's great.
Oh, wow. And our final guest, Paloma, could you please introduce yourself?
Hey, everyone. I'm Paloma. I have been born and brought up in Mumbai. I'm 26. I've worked in social impact, in technology, and in management consulting as well.
Okay, that's great. So thank you guys for coming on. We're so happy to have you guys on, have this amazing discussion that we've been planning for weeks. So I'm going to start with asking some questions. So for the first one, I just want to know, how do you choose your beauty and skincare? Is it like word of mouth, or is something like doctor approved, or like marketed on Instagram, YouTube, trends, and so on? Khushbu, do you want to start?
Yeah. So it's a mix actually for me. Thanks to my profession, I have a habit of researching, and I am a science student, so I do not shy away from chemical names and, you know, just getting deep into the ingredient list. So my journey started when I started noticing some concerns with me, be it pigmentation or just darkened spots and things like that. So I started researching on them and figuring out what ingredients actually work. And so, to be very honest, my first set of skincare, proper skincare, was from the original. I had gotten it all the way from London. I ordered it in to my friend in Dubai, and then she got me when she was traveling back. So I know when the ingredients are. Now my whole journey has been how to find similar level of ingredients, and then I found something in Eclat, which is great. It's actually expensive, but it's on par with original in ingredient level. So yeah, and right now I'm trying to figure out a little more budgeted options so that I can, you know, be more consistent, because it's great. These products are great, but they are not budgeted options. And so, I mean, I will use it in the first one, then in the second set of ordering, I'll be like, okay, can I stretch it out a little? So I'm trying to figure out that. And hence, I think I go with a mix of doctor influencer, not beauty influencers, and, just reaching out to people who are in the industry, and just, you know, talking to them what they feel like, and definitely reading up the reviews. I gobble up reviews a lot. So that's how I decide on brands.
That's great, Khushbu. Priyal, what about you? Where do you seem to find your beauty and skincare go-to products?
Yes, to answer your question, I think for me, I'm very particular about what issue I'm facing. So basically, it involves for me a lot of research about the product ingredients. And I keep away from too many toxic ingredients like sulfates and parabens and all of that. So for me, it's very important to have a great idea about what actually goes into my product, you know. And after I have researched well about the product, then I think floats my boat is basically how the product has been for me in my own experience. So once I try them and I feel that it's giving me results, then I don't mind being consistent with it. Otherwise, I just dump the product. So for me personally, I am not a hoarder of products, a hoarder of skincare and beauty products like many other girls are. For me, it's very issue related and particular to what concern I'm facing at the moment. So that's how I seem to stick to a particular product.
So does that go for makeup as well? Not just skincare?
For makeup, honestly, since I am a makeup artist, I work as a freelancer, I do have to keep a lot of products in my kit, which I might not be using in particular, but you know, there is a demand for it in the market and the clients would prefer to use it. So that does not apply to makeup in particular, but for my own personal skincare journey. Yeah.
Right. And what about you, Paloma? Are you also very research focused like Priyal and Khushbu, you know, in terms of ingredients, or do you have another method in terms of choosing your beauty and skincare?
Absolutely. I think my journey has gone from being like this consumer who would get influenced by this heavy D2C marketing on social media to a very educated consumer. So for example, right now, if you go on YouTube, you will see 5 popular sunscreens, which are all part of one company, which I won't name. But for example, to validate this entire trap of marketing, if you go to your own dermatologists who are, say, not influencers, but actually working out of a clinic, a lot of insider knowledge in what goes on in some of these D2C factories, especially even in Mumbai. And I get a lot of knowledge and insights from that. And the other thing that I do is I actually talk to my friends who I know have a similar skin type or concern like me, and I take their point of view. Instead of relying on influencers, be it the medical ones, which are skincare doctors or other normal influencers, because they are incentivized to curate content in a certain manner, which will have a degree of bias. So yeah, I do a lot of primary research and very little secondary research to make my buying choices.
That is quite interesting to see that, you know, the trends are moving more towards, you know, research-based consumers. And of course, you know, educated consumers is a way to go. But with so much content out there, it's very natural to pick up beauty products and, you know, just kind of hoard by them. I mean, I myself have been guilty, at least during the pandemic, I was supremely guilty of that because, you know, we were at home and I was just like, okay, let's try this, let's try that. What about you, Sharvari?
Yeah, so for me, my journey has been very similar to Paloma's, where I started out, you know, a little bit on the front that, you know, you try out everything and then you get a little more educated. Because one other thing, the doctor influencer that Khushbu talked about, I think it's great, but I also have found that a lot of doctors, I feel like, you know, they do hop onto this trend, and not everybody, but I think a lot of misinformation also gets spread. So I think reviews is another way that, you know, like what you mentioned, is a great way to gauge this, and not just reviews on a website, but Reddit. So not that Reddit is always it's always reliable, but I think that on some forums, I'm able to actually gauge the quality of a product far more than, say, I don't know, any ads. And I think all of us are a lot in agreement about the fact that the D2C marketing that has been sort of pushed onto us has been a bit of an overkill lately.
Yeah. So moving on to our next question, I want to ask all of you, where do you tend to shop your skincare and your makeup from? So is it like, do you guys prefer to shop online, or do you prefer to, you know, visit you know, like go to stores for it, for example? And if you have any particular, you know, multi-brand platforms like, say, Nykaa or Tira or Amazon or any other retail stores, you know, like close to your home, that you prefer to go and, you know, buy products from. So we just want to understand, where is it that you feel most comfortable, you know, based on your living preferences, you know, and stuff like that, where you can shop?
So for me, I think it's different for different products. You know, going purely into the skincare regime, I would use the online platforms, majorly Nykaa, because I know exactly the product that I'm looking for. When it comes to makeup, if I'm expanding my makeup, you know, including a new cosmetic line, new brand, or something I want to try, I would any day prefer going to the store and trying it literally out and then seeing if it works for me or not. And then maybe if I want to buy the second session of it, I would use the online platform. But yeah, so it's very different for what I'm looking for. If I know what I am, like Nykaa is the place, but I am even looking forward to go to Tira right now. I think they've got a very amazing brand lineup, and yeah, I'm just figuring out timelines so I can go visit the store and get the full experience before, you know, just starting to order online, because there are multiple platforms online. It's not just Tira and Nykaa, even Foxy and Plum and I don't know what not. So there's just so much around. It's confusing, but yeah.
That's great. That's a very like an educated sort of way of going about figuring out what platform to buy from. I like that. So Priyal, what about you?
Yeah, so for me, it's different for both. Again, for skincare, I generally prefer shopping online because I'm very loyal to the products that I use. For example, currently I'm obsessed with using niacinamide serums for my acne and acne marks. And Dermaco is my go-to brand for the same. However, for, I mean, makeup, I generally prefer having all of the brands in my kit, and for that it's very important that I personally visit the stores and outlets in the malls so that, you know, for foundations, and there's a lot of consistency that you need to check. So I think that can only be done when you're out there personally trying different kinds of products. So that's been my thing for makeup since the beginning. I think that hasn't changed. Once I'm absolutely comfortable with using one product, then again it's comfortable for me to order through these platforms like Nykaa. But otherwise, I generally prefer shopping in the store by trying it out myself first for makeup. That's my approach.
That's really great. Do you think that being a freelance makeup artist has sort of informed this way of shopping? Because in this world of a lot of e-commerce, where, you know, the latest trend, yeah, you just end up buying it, you being a makeup artist, someone who needs to understand a product before putting it on anybody else, has that really informed your way of shopping?
Yeah, I think that has, generally because you deal with Indian skin, which consists a lot of texture. And for texture, you need a certain kind of product. I mean, you can't have those really liquidy foundations. You need that particular type of a consistency in a foundation which suits those Indian. I mean, we have a very acne-prone skin. We have a lot of texture on our foreheads, those little bumps and all of that. So I think for me, it's of course, you know, going to the outlet personally and trying it out myself wins above anything else, because that's what's something that, you know, you can trust. Otherwise, I mean, of course, there's the world is online and there are a lot of aggregators now. There are a lot of channels where you can really look out for the product and product details, but you know, hands-on is hands-on. I think that is something is important as a freelance working professional. So yeah,
that's great, honestly. So what about you, Paloma?
So for me, it's obviously the common aggregators, but just to add to Pierre's point, aggregators have also evolved, right? For example, in 2019 there was no Ordinary owned by the Deciem on Nykaa. And for me, I have this concept of a non-negotiable in my skincare, which is also niacinamide. So instead of waiting for it to come to India, I would actually order the Ordinary products from Cult Beauty in the UK. But because Nykaa evolved and became an extremely competent aggregator and actually managed, I think, to get the Ordinary the first, like in India, I order everything from there, not just the Ordinary, but other products as well. And resonating with Khushbu and Priyal as well, when it comes to variability of application, which is subject to your own skin tone, your skin texture, your genetic makeup, something like a foundation or a lipstick is something that I would prefer going to a store and trying. Having said that, to some extent, you can also trust like the mirror feature, which is there on Nykaa, which actually shows you shades of lipstick. So that is something that is really bridging the gap between online and offline for me. But it just depends also, say, on my mood. For example, if I'm, say, shopping and I just see a lot of lipstick, I'll just pick up something. So it's been, you know, both sides of the coin for me.
That's very interesting. Yeah. I think this idea of also impulse buying that happens a lot. I mean, it can happen online as well. But like if you go to a shop and you like a lipstick, you just pick it up. But I like the idea that even in terms of Ordinary, which is also, it's a great brand. It's one of those, you know, really popular brands that has been around. And the fact that Nykaa has been able to step itself up, I think in the last 5 years, we've seen a huge change in the kind of products that are available. So I think it's I definitely Nykaa has become more reliable for me specifically. I actually don't really shop through any other channel. Sephora, it doesn't have that many products in India, but I definitely rely a lot more on Nykaa. What about you, Disha?
For me also, I think I tend to shop, like, at least since Nykaa's revolution, I think I've become a avid Nykaa shopper. Sephora, India, you know, like when you're outside, when you're traveling abroad, you know, you tend to go to Sephora, you know, because you can buy a lot of stuff. But that is the experience I enjoy of Sephora in store, which unfortunately I was not able to receive here, at least in Bombay, in the Sephora store here, because I felt like some of us discussed, you know, the range is quite less in terms of the products, and also the experience doesn't feel as wholesome. But otherwise, I'm also curious, I think Khushbu said, in terms of what Tira is going to bring to the table, because, you know, they are trying to match up to Nykaa. And I can see that they do have a way, they have a little bit of a way to go. But I'm curious to see how they are going to, you know, kind of contrast their, you know, products and services in comparison to Nykaa, and try to create an even more integrated omnichannel approach. Because I see that they have these pop-ups all around. They are trying to target a certain niche audience. But, you know, breaking with Nykaa is going to be a challenge. And I'm very curious to see how that happens. And also in terms of buying, I feel like, right, like we can kind of come to a consensus that, you know, with makeup, there is always the need to want to try a particular product much more than skincare. And it's very interesting to see that, you know, in a space where, you know, loyalties to brands are changing so frequently, I can see from here that everyone still seems to be very caught up about their skincare, and they feel very comfortable with what they're using and want to continue to using that. So I think that's a very valuable insight to have. So Khushbu,
So I was just saying, like, something what when Disha was talking about Sephora, I just got reminded that recently, at least in past 1 year, I have loved shopping at duty-free shops. Makeup especially. My experimentation and impulse buying actually, I think, happens there. And I love the people who are there to help us. I've met amazing people who have guided me with amazing, you know, easy-to-use makeup application tips and tricks. And hence saying, like, oh, we think this product is going to be great, and, you know, how about just trying this one out? And it's such a fun time on the airport, and then buying it out. It just, I don't know, it just makes me feel a little bit of luxe and adds to my experimental cosmetic, kit.
So shout out to duty-free airport people. I mean, you guys are heroes in making us buy the products that we want. Okay,
so duty free is always very exciting. I think first you're so excited about traveling only, and then on top of that you're like on the airport, like shopping beauty and skincare and fragrances. I love fragrances. For me, I'm like at duty free boarding fragrances. So that was a very insightful discussion. So looks like our round today is getting bigger and bigger. We have one more guest joining us. Moika, would you please like to introduce yourself?
Hi guys, I'm Mohika, as Disha rightly said, of course. I am from Delhi, but I've been in Bombay since 10 years. And what I do is I'm a business analyst with one of the largest banks in the country, and I'm 28 years old. So that's a bit about myself.
Okay, that's great. So I think now that you're here as well, shall we, let's continue with the questions and...
Yeah, absolutely. So great to have you, Mohika. I'm so glad you could join us. So one of the things we want to ask all of you is that, do you know your skin type? And if you do, how did you learn about it?
Wow, Sharmini, you just asked a question which I'm currently struggling with. 2 years ago, I thought I knew my skin type. It was combination. I had very light concerns about pigmentation and, you know, some dark spots and maybe the dark circles that never leaves our working generation. But now I think climate change is affecting me. I don't know anymore. I mean, my research is leading me towards getting deep diving into periods and, you know, my menstrual cycle, because I see my skin change week after week, season after season, and now I cannot predict it. It's like today I may be lucky and I may look good. Tomorrow I may just little look haggard, and yeah, I gotta do it. So I don't know what's going on, and products that used to do wonders are not working because my skin is changing. So it's a journey all over again, because first I have to track my skin, then figure out, okay, how many ingredients do I need for my skin concerns? Makeup is not working anymore. So it's like I'm back to square one.
The struggles of skin.
Never ending.
What about you, Priyal?
So for me, you know, honestly, I was never so much aware about skincare while growing up. I'd heard a lot of buzz around normal, oily, dry, combination, sensitive. All of these words used to, I mean, get to me, and I'm like, you know, what is my skin type? I mean, really, I have seen my skin change like over time. Sometimes it's, you know, I see a lot of oily skin, sometimes it's dry. So it was really tough for me to come to a conclusion. But then later, after having, you know, consulted a dermat, and then personally understanding through a lot of, I mean, research, I personally realized that I have oily skin. And that is because I think I have those enlarged pores, and, you know, I am prone to blackheads, and I'm sometimes prone to acne as well. So I think these are the kind of things which determine my, I can tell that, you know, I have oily skin. I see a lot of, there's sweat on my oil, you know, there's oiliness basically on my nose from time to time, and the T-section. So I think, yeah, I personally found it out through research myself that I have oily skin.
Okay, so you're saying that it, for you, it was a mix of, you know, going to the dermat and helping you out, and then also doing a lot of your own research. But you know, this is very interesting also, Sharvari, because I feel like it's, people are not aware of their skin type, and there is a huge curiosity. So I think if there is a way that, you know, a solution can be built around people to easily identify their skin types, you know, continuously changing skin types also over, you know, certain periods of time, I think that would be so much more effective. But yeah, I think, what about you, Paloma? Do you have an understanding of your skin type?
So for me, my skin type has been, again, first you just see a lot of YouTube videos, you read online, you do research, and then you start finding a pattern of, you know, these DIYs of how to like figure out your skin type. And then you basically just observe your skin based on what they're recommending. So for example, I have an oily skin type that hasn't changed over the years. And it's obviously through self-discovery, and then you cross-validate it by going to a dermat. So yeah, I've been able to actually figure out my skin type, and because there's so much knowledge out there, it's also enabled me to curate my routine for my oily skin.
Right. What about you, Moeka?
So I think my struggle with my skin type was a long one, because so my father is in a job where they've moved across the country, I think 8 to 9 times, and coming from extremely dry weather to, you know, to a very humid weather like Bombay, I think was a massive like a signal to rediscover your skin type. So I think before reaching Bombay, I had a combination skin. After Bombay, thanks to humidity, I have very, very oily skin. So I think after I reached, and I was like, okay, yeah, my skin is oily. So I think I made the very common mistake of assuming I don't need moisturizer, and end up having like a lot of acne on my face. And that led me to go to a dermat, and I was educated about how the skin type changes across seasons. And yeah, so I think majorly for like, because of course Bombay doesn't have seasons, so out of the 12 months, 9-10 months, my skin is oily. And whenever we have some sort of a cold weather, I feel that I am in between oily and dry, but not even combination. So I don't know what that type is called. So yeah, that has still, I think that is still a struggle, but it shall always remain. So I think that's all about throughout life, you kind of discover new things about your skin. So yeah.
Got it. So Priyal, I think you wanted to add something.
Yeah, I just wanted to infer that through all of these ladies also, I could, you know, make out that it's our skin type actually changes throughout the year. And it really also changes throughout different phases of our life. I think, you know, because of puberty, because of other hormonal imbalances and things like while adulting, things like stress or even weather, like if it's too much heat or too much humidity, we experience different types of skin. So I think keeping in that into consideration, I think it's really confusing at times, you know, as to what is exactly my skin type. And we also have to kind of keep on changing products based on our skin type because of these kind of things that keep on happening throughout different phases of a woman's life. So I don't personally think that there is this one particular skin type that someone has. That's my personal opinion. I feel like it is something that keeps on changing through from time to time as you age.
It's actually very true, because like a lot of you, even I have oily skin, and it's like Mohika also mentioned that, you know, we just assume that moisturizer is not needed, which is such a big misconception. And also a lot of the education for Indian skin specifically has come up only in the last few years. So I like the idea that, I mean, I wish that, like Dishad also mentioned, I wish that there was a way that we could figure this out at an early age without having products pushed on us. And it's, but it's something that is a journey that we kind of have to take through, honestly, all our life. Because I've heard so many women talk about skincare routines changing after 30, because again, their skin becomes a little more dry, or they have to address some problem areas that didn't really exist when they had a little more fat in their face, you know. So I think that's really, I really loved all your perspectives on this. What about you, Disha?
I think, yeah, you know, I feel like it's been an interesting discovery to know that, you know, there are other women here who are also facing changing skin. And I think maybe that then in that sense could probably hold true for a lot of people, you know, where their skin is constantly changing based on, you know, the weather and climate. So that is exactly what I meant, you know, like a solution. Say if there was a tool that, you know, we could all have, or, you know, something that would be purchasable that you could buy and that could, you know, tell you at any time of the day or when you are checking what is your exact skin type, you know, or at least something like a close to version of that, because that would just help us to at least choose products instead of just, you know, blindly just trying and erroring based on, okay, today my skin's feeling oily, so now tomorrow I'm going to order a product for oily skin, and then next week or like 2 months later I'm back to square zero because now suddenly it's very dry. So I think, you know, it would help us with our buying choices if there was like a tool that could assist us in this journey. So I think another very interesting topic, speaking of buying, is also, I want to ask you guys, is that do you tend to try or buy products, you know, based on like third parties? So like we all know like Nykaa and all is fine, but like what do you think about, you know, with Google Pay and some of these more, you know, paying portals that we use, like Bharat Pay and all of these, where they tend to have some of these offers, you know, that if you buy, you get something. Do you tend to buy a lot of products through that? You know, there's this one website that gives you like a, Shari, I'm not sure of the name, I can't seem to recollect it, but where you can buy a product for 1 rupee. As a reward gift. And there are so many other websites also that tend to send you free stuff. So do you think that influences your choice of products, or, you know, are you more tempted to buy something because it has like a discounted pricing to it? Let's start with Khushbu. What do you think?
So I mean, it is tempting, to be very honest, and I have tried Smitten as the brand, but I have not find them, how do I put it, effective. I mean, trying those miniature bottles, you get more results. It's like, oh, I saved money. That's a nice happiness factor, but that's about it. So I think I am now looking more at, I think the 1 rupee thing you were talking about. Yeah, I guess I've heard the brand, And it's the same. I don't trust them anymore. I'm like, I am not going to risk my skin for skincare or makeup just to save money. And I mean, I don't think I want to do that. And so these third-party payment portals do not, you know, tempt me anymore. I've tried Smitten. It did not work for me. And so I'm not open to them. Nykaa as a brand and as a platform comes again and again because it has a, you know, a customer support where you can go or complain about if you've had a bad experience. Like, there are many layers which Nykaa has established. Hence, I would any day go buy something from there, even if it's maybe 10% more expensive than a third-party portal.
Yeah, at the end of the day, long-term, Nykaa is a little more long-term benefit. And frankly, you save a lot more than you actually would on a third-party website.
Yeah, but you know, Shalvari, like, for example, I completely agree with Khushbu, you know, definitely once you have an understanding of your skin and, you know, you understand that some of these more cheaper alternatives are not necessarily the best for us. I mean, even though you're saving money. But what I tend to realize is that over a conversation I had with somebody was that they actually got to learn about the product through this. So, for example, through the GPay rewards that you get, which necessarily is not with smaller brands, but they learned about a company called Mums & Co., for example, you know, and that company today is doing supremely well. I don't know how, if people have used it. I personally haven't still used it, but I heard somebody saying that, you know, I loved the company so much, I'm ordering so much from them now. So that's why I'm very curious about this question. What do you think about it, Priyal?
I personally feel and do not trust third-party portals because it can't guarantee, I mean, whatever the products are counterfeit, you know. So I have personally always trusted the big names and not these third-party vendors for these kind of petty rewards per se. So personally got no experience with these kind of things, but I would honestly say that be safe. You know, verify the reviews, verify the portal, because a lot of these third-party portals actually do have vague vendors. Maybe the portal has a big name, but you know, eventually it's the vendors who come on the portal and sell, and they can really be anonymous and vague. So I would really advise people to kind of beware, look for reviews, look for other, I mean, research a little bit about the information and then make your decision. And just to be safe from all of this, I think just go with the more trustworthy brands out there. There are plenty. Rather than falling for these kind of traps and, I mean, getting a counterfeit product and falling for these fraudulent things. So, yeah, that's what I would like to say.
That's interesting. What about you, Paloma?
So, even I don't trust these third-party platforms because when it comes to skincare, you know, saving that extra money will not really help me in the long run because it's always about quality. And the second thing is that once you kind of go into this rabbit hole of D2C and skincare, you kind of also pick up on, I would say, the trends as a consumer on how they're trying to entice you with marketing. So if it's like something completely in your face marketing, or they're constantly discounts, or if I'm constantly getting hounded by emails or SMSs that, you know, there's this discount, etc., or even on WhatsApp, I start doubting the brand a bit, that if you're really so good, why do you need to try this hard that you need to be in my inbox every alternate day? If I trust you, I'll automatically come to you, right? I'm not saying this is true for all brands, but I think marketing has kind of gone on an overdrive, and organic marketing is something which I'm drawn to. For example, if there's a real consumer who I know is being interviewed, say, for example, The Minimalist, if you see some of their YouTube ads, they actually bring in men and bring in their perspective that, you know what, it's actually gender neutral. It's not like a girl thing or a guy thing. So it's also to do with the genuineness of marketing that would make me trust the brand. And like, you know, earlier it was mentioned that this kind of trust is only established on a proper platform, which has a lot of layers of scrutiny and like the vague vendors are mentioned, right? So trust is something for me, which is quite brand focused, and how I'm also viewing their marketing initiatives.
Okay, what about you, Moeka?
I have personally never ordered from any of the third-party apps and neither from Amazon after hearing like horrific reviews about counterfeit products being sold on Amazon. So I think I always prefer to go on the vendor's website. Like, for example, Paloma said, minimalist. Minimalist has been my holy grail of good things. And I trust them so much because one of my very close friends was involved in formulating the products for them. And I think from there, I got to understand the kind of quality of the products and ingredients that they've been using. And I think with how, you know, the entire, I would say, tsunami of skincare has been coming in the last 2-3 years, we don't really need to go to these third-party apps that sell cheaper products, because nowadays I think that skincare has become pretty affordable. Gone are the days when Estee Lauder all-night serum was the only serum available for, you know, nighttime, and now you can easily purchase like a great bottle of retinol for say 500 or 600 rupees. So I would rather invest a 500 rupee note in a rather trusted brand and a trusted merchant per se, but I would never go in for a third party app for sure. Yeah, so I think it's just better to be, I mean, I am a Nykaa fan for sure. And I think it was only yesterday that I discovered that I order so much from Nykaa that I'm a Nykaa Privy Platinum, if that's a thing. I'm confused, but that's a thing as well. But I think Nykaa also, I only order my sunscreen from Nykaa. That's it. Rest everything is always and always from the brand's website. I think I am ready to wait for a 3-day more period and everything to get a delivery. But at least I will sleep in peace later. So, yeah.
Wow, that is very insightful. And to know that, you know, this is the general consensus towards these third-party products, you know. What about you, Sharvari? Have you ever kind of tried some of these products that you've got? You know, because sometimes even with Nykaa and all, you tend to get testers and stuff like this. But of course, I'm more curious about the third-party or like, you know, say Google Pay, which we all use.
So with third-party, I think the consensus I get is if you're an enthusiast, like we all are, I think our research is a lot more thorough than probably a normal consumer. If I was to sort of compare me with my mom, I would never buy from a third party. I remember there was a time when Ordinary and a lot of these brands weren't on Nykaa or anywhere, any trusted retailer, but they were on this Instagram page. It was very popular and they would sell them for a slightly lower price. I got tempted, but I think I went into it completely distrusting the third party sort of seller. But my mom is someone who she would actually buy from there, because she's not as someone who reads into it much, doesn't have much of that much of an interest. So it's, I think the majority of people do buy, because at the end of the day, like Paloma said, the marketing is on an overdrive and it works. But for us as enthusiasts, we are a lot more careful. So I think Khushbu wanted to add something. So go ahead, Khushbu.
Yeah, actually, Sharvari, I was going to add something on your point. I feel that the group that we are sitting here right now is privileged, educated, and we do spend time on researching our products. That sets us apart. The general population isn't like that. Like, I'll be very honest, I have a flatmate who doesn't have time thanks to her job and everything. And so she would rather talk to people and just get a general, you know, the majority vote and go and try that product. And we are in a country of India where we are missing out on tier 2, tier 3 people who are exposed to internet, exposed to all these marketing gimmicks, and are not well educated. I would say not well researched, not educated, but well researched. And so their way of researching and getting is just about trying. And so for them, I feel the third party payment apps, discounts, the 1 rupee platforms, way to go about it.
Yeah, that's, I think what Khushbu, you're saying is, you know, something that we've also discovered over time. And I think even in our last episode with Pooja, we did realize that, you know, a large part of India is still tier 2, tier 3 cities, and we can never, you know, we can never sort of miss this.
Okay, so now that we've talked about third-party websites and everything, we want to understand that how much do you, on approximate levels, spend on skincare and makeup in a month? And do you think that Has that died down over the years, increased? What has been that trend for you? So, Khushbu, you can start.
So, it's a bit of a roller coaster. When I started, I was easily spending 5K per month on my skincare. And I'm not even including makeup here now, because I started off with Original and Eclats, and then it was not very sustainable for me. As I moved cities, my skin changed, and things like that. Currently, I am more into Dermat approved and, you know, those clinical products. So again, my costing on just purely skincare regime is 3 to 4K, and then makeup takes another, I'll just, in an averaging out in a month, it'll be 2K, because I tend to not use a lot of makeup. I am more focused on skincare and letting that do its work. So yeah, I mean, so here's my confusion, which I'm trying to answer, which is, we have multiple brands coming up, and, you know, just, I mean, we were talking about, I personally have used Eclats and Claire's and Original, but now I see Minimalist, Plums, and I've heard great reviews on that. Even Dr. Sheth and what was one more? Dermaco. So great product lines. I have personally not been able to trust them and try them, but I want to. Now, my question here is, these both product, you know, brand lines offer similar ingredients, yet have such massive difference in pricing. So now I am confused. Is it worth paying for the brand value, the premium brand value, or is it a smarter choice to go with these trusted brands which offer products at a, you know, at a worth value than a premium?
That's an interesting question. I think we can definitely look into it, and you know, what about anybody else here? Moeka, Paloma, Priyal, any of you, Sharvari, you have any answer to Khushbu's dilemma here?
So to answer Khushbu's dilemma, right? I think you need to understand how these companies are also organized. So to give you an anecdote, or rather a fact, the Dermaco and Dr. Sheth's Skinline, they're actually owned by the parent company of Mama Earth. And they have other brands as well. So I think if you understand that ecosystem, it'll also give you a clue on, okay, if it's a house of brands, they might be doing cost cutting. If you were to compare, say, even the packaging of, say, a Dermaco along with the Dr. Sheth packaging, I can actually send you a picture right now and tell you that, you know what, they're actually using even the same bottles to package their products. So I think research a lot about the company and the kind of people who are also designing these products. Is it basically Dermats? How commercially driven they are? How transparent, you know, they are? But when I think in terms of your spending question, right, I think you should spend the extra amount, because the efficacy of the ingredients used is what you're paying for and not for the brand. The brand will have its own marketing budget to entice you, but try to focus on what is really going inside the product and not what is shown outside, in order for you to like press buy.
I'd like to add here a little. So I think I had a good inside scoop of how these products are made. And guess what, guys? Almost all the Indian products that we are getting are using the same ingredients of top three chemical giants in the country. All right. And Minimalist is transparent enough to actually name these giants in their you know, on their website, on their, you know, pages and everything. So we know whose product they're using. And in fact, opening a skincare line these days is so easy, because for literally all you have to do is create a brand, create a label, and there are already ready-made distributors who will put the product for you in a box, formulate it for you, put it in a box for you. All you have to do is just add your label on it. So the best way to go in to buy any product is to know who's the manufacturer of these ingredients. And this is very easily available across, you know, on the website that you're ordering from, right? So for example, Minimalist orders most of his ingredients from BASF Germany, which is one of the largest chemical giants in the entire world. And the quality of the chemicals that they use is one of the highest in the country. All right. So it's absolutely okay to ditch the marketing budgets of, you know, certain brands just because they are imported, because literally every brand is using the same damn chemicals inside them. So it's absolutely okay. You can ditch the budget. I mean, adding to this question, I think my monthly expenditure on skincare is sub 2000 rupees. And if you see the change that I have brought in my own skin, you would be surprised. So yeah.
Wow. That's a great, I mean, I know we are like on a call, but I want to see your before and after change. Because 2000 is like not much.
I'll definitely share.
Absolutely. And Moika, I want to ask you, what about makeup? Like you said, you spend almost 2000 just on skincare now. And that's a really, I think, cost-effective budget to work with. And you're saying that, you know, you've managed to make a lot of change in your skin. But I really want to understand, like, what about makeup? Do you tend to spend just about that much on makeup? Is it higher or lower?
No, I think, so I'm not a lot of a makeup girly. I'm more of a lipstick plus eyeliner girly. I don't like to use a lot of foundation. I'm more of a very lightweight BB cream or a CC cream plus a lipstick and plus an eyeliner. That's it. And just adding on a little on my budgeting part of skincare, I think with time I've learned less is more. So the lesser number of ingredients you use, at the time, it's much better for your skin. Like right now, I'm only on a niacinamide plus a moisturizer routine for the night. And in the morning, it's just niacinamide plus a moisturizer plus a sunscreen. So that's my routine for right now. And because I tend to understand how my skin barrier changes with the seasons. And that's how I've adjusted my skincare. So yeah, I think I'm literally, I think sub 1500 rupees right now. So I'm very happy about that.
Wow, Moika, these are some intense secrets, okay? You have to really tell
us. All right, so I think, Priyal, do you want to go ahead? Because we've not really come to you on this question.
For me, it's around 1,000 rupees, honestly, because currently I am, you know, for me, it's a lot of DIY, those ice water dips and aloe vera gels and all of that. Something that is really healing to the skin as well. And apart from that, as I told earlier, I'm really addicted to this niacinamide serum by the Dermaco, and it's really been effective for me. So for me, that's something I'm loyal to. Apart from that, just the moisturizers and the lip balms. Apart from makeup, for makeup, I think, of course, it's a huge budget, but then I seem to recover that through my clients. So that's really not an expense for me. On a personal level, I mean, whatever makeup I buy, it lasts me for a certain amount of time. So I think it's not something very significant. So can be eliminated from a, you know, that monthly expense thing. So yeah, I think it's around 1,000-1,500 for me as well. Because the serum that I use costs me around 100.
You and Priyal, you and Mohika are like sort of my role models are not spending that much money per month.
So we should also try.
It was a hardly learned, you know, we had to really struggle through, but we learned our lessons, I think, in time.
But I also feel that we need to also resort to these natural remedies as well, you know, instead of just relying heavily on these commercial products. I think aloe vera gel and ice water dips, I mean, have really impacted my skin in terms of making it tight and eliminating those large pores and all of that. So I think, yeah, I don't know how many of y'all are into natural skincare as well, but I think that's effective.
I think Indian beauty in general is like, you know, the whole basis of our Indian-led beauty is natural sort of remedies, right? From doing the, you know, from our hair remedies to everything on our skin with turmeric and everything. So I guess if this generation, if we're actually able to push that forward, all of our spending budget will come down on our skincare and makeup routines.
No, but Shalvari, you know, it's, I think what she's saying, Priyal, about, you know, natural routines, I think with the ice water dips, it's there. I mean, even celebrities are doing it. They do it all the time. I recently saw an Instagram reel of Alia Bhatt, you know, actually dipping her face into cold water and saying that I do this on the daily, at least 2-3 times in a day, you know, to make her skin more firm. And I think, I think in our last season, we even had an entire episode dedicated to this, where we discussed about, you know, how Indian skincare is so naturally rooted in, and it's all these chemicals and all these, is something that's, you know, actually a trickle-down version from the West, which, you know, India has now got onto the trend, but there's still so many believers. And even our generation, which is so inspiring to see, who still believe that natural wellness is much better.
Because I feel that most of the natural ingredients come from plant sources and they fall under the non-toxic skincare and cosmetic category, you know. And I feel that most makeup and skincare industry will not make it a priority to make us aware of what exactly goes into their products. So it's very imperative that we as conscious consumers of skincare and beauty also, you know, do our own research and switch to safer ingredients for a healthier yeah. skin.
Just to add on this, like you should always test before you apply aloe vera gel on your skin, because apparently I am allergic to aloe vera. So that's also a very, very high possibility. So just a yeah. caveat for the girlies out there who are listening to it. Please do a patch test with everything that you're putting on your skin. Yes.
Yeah, every product, I think.
Yeah. Public service announcement, guys. Patch test for aloe vera. All right.
Okay. So girls, this is our next question. What have been some very game-changing products for you in terms of skincare and makeup, you know, that you've tried recently or, you know, has definitely been included into your routine? Like, I can see that there was a consensus in the earlier questions with the Dermaco serum, but other than that, any other makeup or skincare products that, you know, have particularly helped to solve a problem area, then even better. Let's start with you, Khushbu.
Okay, so for me, the game changer used to be Ordinary. It really formed my skin, and I'm trying to figure out the similar ingredients that can do the magic again, or just go back to that. From makeup point of view, it's a small story which I would like to share. So for my makeup, the reason why I really love duty-free shops was I was flying somewhere and I went into duty-free shop, and this one amazing lady who was about to retire sat me down and was because asked me questions, what are you looking for and so on and so forth. And she was like, she realized I'm a complete noob in actual makeup stuff. And she literally was like, no, you don't need expensive brands. Take these products off this, now select. And she literally sat me down, taught me how to put makeup on, gave me tips that work for my skin, how am I supposed to use that makeup given my facial structure and everything. And it still does wonders. It changed my photo game. It changed my videography game. And you know, the product is not very fancy. It's MAC Studio. But the way she asked me to apply, warming the product by applying on the back of the hand, using the pressure, she taught me the pressure that I'm supposed to use on my skin. And so, yeah, I think makeup for me has become more like products are fine. You just need to find the skin tone, but also the application of it. You know, that's the reason why makeup artists do a 1,000 times better job than us. Who will, after even learning 10 YouTube tutorials, wouldn't be able to do even a job at par with them. So I think application has been a game changer for me in cosmetics at the very least.
So speaking of makeup artists, like Priyal, give us your, you know, game changing product.
I have a lot of recommendations when it comes to makeup. Currently, I'm obsessed with this brand Kiko Milano and their range of cosmetics, their range of foundations. Apart from that, I am currently hoarding these cream blushes, you know. The Rare Beauty cream blush is something I would definitely recommend. Apart from that, Simply Nam, they have great, great shades of lipsticks. So it's fairly a new brand, but I have tried their blushes and lipsticks, and honestly, they're great, like really great. One makeup product that's really cheap but is amazing is the Nykaa, the Wake Up Makeup shade of lipstick by Nykaa themselves.
So I think that is something I can really, really vouch on. It's very nude. It's the shade that can go with literally everything. K by Katrina, definitely. They have a great range of mascaras, kajal pencils and all of that. So with makeup, I have a huge list. But I'd like to, keep it to this for now. And apart from that, I think with skincare, niacinamide, as I said, along with niacinamide from the same brand, the Dermaco, I also use the salicylic acid face wash. And I think it really helps me because I have oily skin and enlarged pores. So what that face wash, remove excess oil and minimize the pores for me. So I think, yeah, these are some of the products that currently I am loving and I'm using.
Okay, I love that. Wow, that's a makeup artist herself. It's just great inputs. All right, Paloma, who do you want to go next?
So for me, The Ordinary, or rather the parent company Deciem, has been like this epitome of, taking the world by storm at the intersection of science-based skincare. And honestly, I'm extremely loyal to them because I've seen the results and I completely trust them. And in terms of the products which have been like a game changer, it's obviously the niacinamide serum, the retinol one as well. And for the under eye, they have a caffeine solution. And when I have a bad acne attack, it's their azelaic acid, which is absolutely amazing. I think The Ordinary is something which is really a cult brand for me. And I feel that it has done the biggest contribution to the skincare industry, because after that, everybody else seems to be like copying it. And I think in India, the first brand to copy them for niacinamide was Mamaearth. And this the founder had openly even said in one of her interviews that I was watching. Kudos to The Ordinary. And I really look up to the brand personally as well.
And what about you, Moeka?
So I think my holy grail of brands would be Minimalist. I use their niacinamide. I think that's the only niacinamide that has suited my skin per se. And I think while trying to figure out ingredients and everything, I came across this brand called Foxtail. And I think their products have been like a major game changer for me. I think their hydrating face wash is something that I didn't know I needed. And I think it has been magical on my skin. And I think last month, I was going through this acne attack on my skin. And I came across their tranexamic acid solution. And I think that has been something that has really helped me control my acne and, and also my acne spots. And I think the moisturizer that I swear by is Emoline, which is a pharmacy brand, right? I think Emoline has been extremely good for my oily skin through the seasons. My sunscreen is La Shield. I think their SPF 40 sunscreen has been one of the best that I've been using. And also, yeah, the Minimalist sunscreen stick is something that I generally go with, because of course, given the limited number of stick sunscreens, I'm really sorry, it's like, yeah, so I think that's where I go with. Yeah, and I think from time to time, when I feel like my skin is drying out a little, I also try the Foxtail Peptide Moisturizer. And I think that has always been, I think these are the staples that I always have it with me. And currently, as I'm kind of doing like a skin detox with just niacinamide and Emoline, I think my retinol is on the side. But retinol also I use Foxtail. I think Foxtail is the brand that actually made a lot of difference after Minimalist, of course. So yeah, and I think with makeup, not a makeup girly again, just I think my lipsticks are generally from Sugar. And because I really like their long lasting lipsticks, because I tend to stay in office for really long hours and I don't want to reapply again between meetings. It's just weird for me. And eyeliner has to be the Lakme Absolute range. It doesn't budge, guys. Like, I have to really put in force to kind of remove it. It doesn't budge throughout the day. So yeah, that's about it for me.
You guys have given so many good tips. I'm going to listen back to this episode and literally list down every product, because first of all, you guys are like the best enthusiasts I've ever spoken to. And I'm sure Disha can like concur with me on this. And seriously, like, I can sense that niacinamide is a huge like sort of a huge game changer product for like most of you. And it's one of the most popular products in the skincare world that I've been seeing lately as well. So I think for me specifically, tea tree oil has made the biggest difference to my skin. I was going through one of the worst acne breakouts like 3 years ago, and I used tea tree oil with almond oil, and I literally, like, it removed every scar that existed on my face. And that's now part of my routine, very like everyday routine pretty much. And I mean, I don't use any very expensive brand. I just use one I get from Nykaa, and it's pretty good. And I use tea tree oil face wash as well from Body Shop, which again, it really helps my skin. I am able to sort of, it suits it really, really well, clears out everything that I need. So Disha, what about you?
I have now started using some of the more clinical ones, and I tend to use a lot of Cetaphil products also in terms of moisturizing and, you know, especially the night cream. It really works very well for my skin because I think it has a slightly thick layer, and it just makes my skin feel really smooth in the morning. In terms of makeup, I think there's a bunch of them always. I've tried, I don't know about a lot of the local brands because I feel like my curiosity for them is growing slowly. I have tried some of the sugar and some of the K-beauty products, but I am still using a lot more of the international products yet. But I think what I've loved about this whole discussion is some of the serums that I've got to learn about. And Foxtail, I think, Moeka, you told me, and I'm very curious about it now. Like Foxtail, I've been looking at it, but I've been very apprehensive about it. So I think after listening to your feedback, I feel very motivated to try.
I think it also took me an order to kind of get used to Foxtail. But after I started using their products and the change that I saw on my skin, I think I was sold. And just to add, I think one of the things that has been a game changer for me, I think that has had the best result yet, has been taking niacinamide orally after getting prescribed from a dermatologist, of course. And I think that has made a lot of difference in my skin, in my hair. And yeah, I think if you can, you can ask your derma if you can take the oral niacinamide, and that really changes the game for your skincare. So yeah, just getting ahead from the serum-based skincare routine, it is also what you eat and what you put in your body, of course, that kind of changes your skin. So I think oral niacinamide has been one of the best decisions I've taken to actually go ahead with. Yeah.
That's amazing. That's really amazing. And I think we've loved asking you guys these questions. Shalvari, what do you want to like run into our next segment quickly?
Yeah. So again, this is honestly the best discussion on skincare and makeup I've ever had. I'm going to just say that. And we have this like really fun game that we want to like sort of play. And it's going to be pretty quick. And we just want to ask you one by one. So just as like a rapid fire round. So the first question is, the top weirdest place you've ever done your makeup in. Khushbu, you can go ahead if you want.
Wow. Washroom, I think. Mall washroom. Because I heard some of my colleagues were there. So, yeah.
For me, it was in an escape room. Just imagine. I mean, it was my birthday that day. And I had to go and rush for an evening dinner. And just before that, all my friends surprised me for an escape room game. And I had to carry all my makeup with me. And over there, I was like lipsticking. And I mean, I was putting on my eyeliner and all of that. It was mad for me.
This is insane.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. What about you, Paloma?
For me, I think it's been in a moving car. And I actually got the angle of my eyeliner like on spot. So, yeah, moving car.
That's skill. That's actual skill. I mean, wow, that's fantastic. What about you, Moheka?
Same, in a cab. I think that has been the weirdest way I have ever done my makeup. And also, I got Puloma to you. I also got my liner right. So, yeah.
I think we girls are just really good at this. Like, we've just trained ourselves that to be handy wherever.
Exactly.
It's an underrated skill that only we have. It's like a weapon of choice. What about you, Disha?
I think for me was definitely I've done it in the car for sure, but I think for me one of the places was that I went for a movie and I had to go out after that, so it was like in the washroom of a theater. That's where I was, and everyone was trying to go pee and I was like doing my makeup quickly, like a whole full-fledged routine. So I think for me that was the weirdest place. What about you?
For me it was actually on the toilet seat of a bar bathroom, so don't worry, I was fully clothed. But it was basically I was in college and we had a sudden thing, we had to go to this big party and I was like, okay, I look like a mess, so we literally had like our makeup stuff and I was just like quickly with like this bad lighting and this sort of pocket mirror, and I was just sitting there in the washroom just doing my makeup and everyone was like, wait, what on earth is she doing there? Like, why is she spending so much time in the washroom? So I think that was definitely the weirdest and the quickest I have ever done a full face of makeup in my life.
Okay, and one more question to the rapid fire. What is the biggest makeup faux pas according to you? Let's start with Khushbu.
Oh, clown cheeks, like, or no, the new trend thanks to K Beauty is the clown nose. Too much blush on the nose. I don't think I'm up for that game.
Okay, so let's be rapid. Paloma.
I think for me, it's like, don't do like dark lips and dark eyes and like too much of everything. Like, just pick one thing that you want to like stand out in your face. If it's just the eyes, do a simple lipstick. Less is more, definitely, when it comes to makeup.
Okay. Priya.
For me, there are plenty. As Paloma said, of course, you know, bold eyes and bold lips together is a very, very bad combination. Apart from that, I think the foundation not matching your skin tone and too much concealer. I mean, I'm a minimalistic, dewy girl. For me, seeing too much makeup on anybody's skin is like a big faux pas.
Oh, man. Okay, Moika.
I think the highlighter trend, people putting in the liquid highlighter with the powder highlighter. And exactly how, you know, like Shalvari said, you know, looking like a disco ball, I think that has ought to be my biggest faux pas, definitely.
What about you, Shalvari?
Oh, concealer lips. It's a very big trend. Concealer lips with extremely thick, sort of penciled in eyebrows that look good on camera, but they just do not translate well in real life.
I agree. Horrible.
I think for me it's the plumped lips. I think after a certain point I'm like, I can tell not all of us have these lips. I mean, you know, not everyone has Kim Kardashian lips that are, you know, surgically done. So for me it's like, it's definitely the overdone lip is a big faux pas.
Even Kim Kardashian doesn't have Kim Kardashian lips. They're just made up, right? So
yeah, exactly.
Very true. I think fillers is one, but I think the overlining itself, right? Where you can tell, yeah. And especially the overlining where the lip liner is a different color and then the lipstick is like a darker color, and you can tell that it looks so off. And it just, I mean, again, with editing and with like Facetune, it looks great on Instagram, and in real life, this does not translate well. Yeah.
So I think this has been a great discussion. Thank you so much for all of y'all for being here. Any closing thoughts from y'all, Moika?
So I think I sadly missed the half of this conversation, and I'm like really feeling bad about it. This would have been a really fun conversation given the last segment was so much fun. So I think thank you guys for inviting us, and this has been extremely insightful. I think learning from Priyal about the makeup thing as well was great. So thank you guys.
Thank you. Priyal, any closing thoughts?
Just the fact that this was amazing, much, much more than what I actually expected to be. And kudos to Sharvari and Disha for organizing this for all of us. And I just wish to listen to more podcasts from Coats and Mascara.
Thank you. That's so sweet of you. Paloma, Khushbu, any closing thoughts?
I mean, I remember bumping into Sharvari just 2 days before this episode. And, you know, I'm really inspired by the amount of passion that you guys are putting in just to curate this. And also the name is really cool. You know, Coats and Mascara, I think, is something which is that intersection of beauty plus brains of a woman in a work setup. And it just summarizes it so well. It's super catchy. And it's just amazing to be here, Disha and Sharvari. Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you for coming on. We had such a great time.
Thank you so much for coming on. I think without you all, it would not be possible. Khushbu, last from you.
I mean, I also loved this. I mean, the whole conversation was sort of a good learning journey for me to, you know, to see how others are doing things and how others are approaching, especially how, you know, listening from Mohika and, you know, just seeing like, okay, the main, where are everything coming from? And it's all from the same giants and just girls sitting, talking makeup. It's the most intellectual makeup talk, and that breaks some sort of stereotypes. And so this conversation was amazing. Thank you, Sharvari. Thank you, Disha.
So, well, I just wanted to say that thank you so much, all of you, for joining us today, giving us your time and having this conversation with us. I can just say this is honestly one of the best 2 hours I've ever spent, like talking about makeup and skincare. And as Khushbu rightly put it, it's a lot more than just girls loving makeup. I think it's the conversation just went beyond that. And that's something that we always wanted to use Coats and Mascara as a platform for. And it's just our honor to have you guys. And we cannot wait to have you guys again for another roundtable.
Again, like, I think I just echo with Shavari's thoughts here. And I look forward to, you know, connecting with all of you in person. And I think Shavari does too. And, you know, we can kind of go forward into these talks because this has been truly insightful and very inspiring. Thank you so much. So, guys, that was definitely an insightful discussion today. Just to leave you with some food for thought here. I think what we've understood, Sharvari, from this episode is definitely we did view a bunch of women who were in the age group of 20 to 30 years old. We also need to acknowledge the fact that currently all these women are based out of Mumbai, which is a metropolitan city in India. And like I think Khushbu mentioned in one of the discussions, was that we need to factor in points of view from tier 2 and tier 3 cities also to reach better consensus in terms of, you know, how brand marketing activities should align. And also to understand that for enthusiasts in particular, they are not aligned to, you know, D2C marketing habits. I mean, they are finding it very difficult to work with that. And they then like to dive deep into their own research and, you know, work around that, because I feel that they are not enjoying a very heavily integrated marketing to your face all the time. So that is definitely one aspect to consider. Another part of marketing that I think we were able to come up with from this discussion was also to see that how certain brands who are more transparent in their marketing initiatives and have a more thoughtful marketing initiative, like say YouTube videos giving you clarity in terms of where the chemicals are being purchased from, are being viewed in a much better light. What do you think, Sharvari? Do you feel that there can be a possibility for a brand that exists simply for enthusiasts? Because I think your knowledge in this department is a little bit more evolved than mine.
So I think that it's a good point about enthusiasts doing a lot more research. And as we could see from the discussion, they were very well-versed with the kind of ingredients put into these skincare or makeup brands, right? And but I do feel though that the market, even with that, is very small. Khushbu rightly pointed out that we are still a privileged bunch, and living in Mumbai, a metropolitan city where all of this is available, most of these products are not even available in tier 2, tier 3 cities. So while I do think that there is a market, it's extremely niche. However, if these products are marketed a little smartly, they can definitely create a lot more noise across a wider consumer base.
Right. So I think, guys, we would love to hear what your perspective is on these questions. And if you have any inputs to give on some of the previously discussed questions with our group, we look forward to hearing from you. You can definitely reach out to us via email on coatsandmascara@gmail.com, or you can also DM us on Instagram @coatsandmascara. Individually, if you would like to reach out to your co-host Sharvari on Instagram, you can do so at sharvarisha95. And for Disha @LadyD4U. I'm Disha.
And I'm Sharvari. And we'll see you in our next episode.